Fangoria presents Class of 79.
What we gotta do is we gotta snag that tall dude and stomp the shit out of him, and we'll find out what the hell is going on up there. Yeah, we'll lay that sucker out flat and drive a stake right through his goddamn heart.
Thanks for tuning in to Class of 79 on the Fangoria Podcast Network, where we take you behind the scenes of our favorite movies that turned 40 this year. I'm Natasha Pacetta, your host and vanguard of the vault over here at Fangoria, and this is our series on Phantasm. If you didn't get a chance to check out my interview with Don Coscarelli, please go back and listen. It's a fascinating discussion about the origins of this amazing movie. And of course, the series could not exist without the coolest cat in the world, Reggie Bannister. Reggie talks about jamming out with Bill Thornberry, his real job working in the floral department for the actual cemetery used in the film, doing all of the stunts himself, and much more. Before we get to Reggie's stories, I want to tell you about Fangoria Magazine. In 1979, the first issue of Fangoria was released into the world. It's been 40 years and Fangoria is better than ever, each issue bringing you 100 pages of exclusive, carefully curated content honoring horror's past, present, and future. These articles and interviews will never be published online, so the only way to get them is by getting your hands on a physical, collectible copy of your own. Now, we can't give anything away because we want the experience to be a surprise, but we can safely say that you will not want to miss a single page. Head on over to Fangoria.com to learn more and to subscribe. And while you're there, make sure you enter the promo code CLASSOF, CLASSOF, to save 15% off your subscription. Go to Fangoria.com and subscribe today. And I'm excited to tell you about the Texas Triffid Ranch. This is so cool. This is Dallas's pretty much only carnivorous plant gallery. The Texas Triffid Ranch specializes in custom, unique enclosures for Asian, South American, and Australian pitcher plants and other carnivorous plants, all based on owner-operator Paul Riddle's background in science and science fiction art. If you're in the DFW area, the Texas Triffid Ranch is open by appointment and by regular open house, and you can also catch Paul and his carnivorous plants at events and lectures throughout Texas. For more information, visit txtriffidranch.com. That's txtriffidranch.com. Now, let's get into this Hot as Love interview with Reggie Bannister. The Reg Man joins us to talk about Phantasm. Thank you so much for joining us, Reggie.
Oh, hey, I'm jazzed to do it. I've been involved with Fango ever since the beginning, ever since Fango started. And I've always supported everything that you guys have done. And I'm stoked to be here talking to you.
I think it's so cool how the Phantasm franchise has grown up, you know, with Fangoria. Phantasm and Fangoria have been partners for 40 years, and that's just awesome.
Yeah, it really is a trip, isn't it?
Yeah, can you believe it's been 40 years?
Geez, it is kind of hard to believe. At the same time, I have such specific memories of when we started. And then, of course, I started with Don earlier than that, of course, with Jim the World's Greatest and Kenny right. and Company. And so, I go back a long ways with him. So, you know, pretty vivid memories of the last almost 50 years, really.
I wanted to ask you, Reggie, about what the conversation was like between you and Don when you were kind of jamming out the Reggie character. Was Reggie always an extension of you?
Wow. Well, we knew that Reggie was going to be cool.
He's the coolest ice cream man around.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. It kind of fit, you know, ice cream man, cool dude. And he wanted me to be able to, play, you know, guitar and because, you know, Bill played guitar and stuff and
right.
He wanted us to be buddies that, got together musically as well as, you know, just being friends. And he really wanted that really strong friendship, both musically and just, you know, every which way. We'd throw ourselves on the gates of hell for each other. And he did it. That's why the characters are so, they really draw you, you know, in, because you love the friendship. Everybody loves friendship, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody loves to see friends stand up against evil. And that's what he did. And that's, I think, one of the big reasons why, you know, we've been able to do, what, five of them.
As a viewer, I really believe that you and Bill are great friends, and, you know, you and Mike are great friends. And I love that Don wanted you guys to be compatible musically, because like you said, Bill is a musician and you're a musician. And I always love that scene where you guys are playing Sitting Here at Midnight. Did you guys rehearse a lot for that, or did you just jam it out on the spot?
We got together, I think it was the night before. We sat down and he had a basic concept of a song, but he didn't have it finished yet. And so we worked on it until we felt that it was, you know, complete, with a verse and chorus. And then we really had fun working on the instrumental part. Da 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 da. Da 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 da, you know, and it just it just turned out great, and for us to be able to just like sit on a front porch somewhere, you know, in the film, supposedly I guess his house, shoot that, you know, play it and shoot it was really a lot of fun.
Reggie, tell us about how you helped secure the Morningside Mortuary Funeral Parlor location for the film.
I had a day job at Sunnyside Mausoleum and Cemetery in Long Beach. And it's one of the most beautiful mausoleums and cemeteries, I think, in the world, probably. Mm. And because I worked in the flower shop at Sunnyside for a day job, and I used to do all, like, flower placements in the mausoleum and cemetery. And so I was pretty connected, you know, with the company that owned both of the properties. And so when it came time to do Phantasm, I worked out a deal with them so that we could shoot there. And that's what you're seeing when we do the mausoleum scenes.
So you were kind of the location scout on the funeral home there. And that must have been really... Like you had a firsthand knowledge of what it's kind of like to work around a funeral home. What's the weirdest thing that you witnessed?
Well, you know, I don't know. After when you work in a funeral, you know, parlor situation, it's really, you know, weird becomes kind of relative. And so it was it's an interesting business to be involved in. And one that I never thought I would ever be involved in until I was. I worked there for years. It was my day job for years. And they were very kind with me. And they knew, you know, that I made movies. And they would allow me to go and make movies and then come back and do my job again. They would let me go away for a couple of weeks at a time.
You must have been doing something right. You know, they wanted to keep you coming back.
You know, I think I've been doing something right my whole life. Because
I think so.
It's been good. It's been real good.
Well, Reggie, let's talk a little bit about the special effects scenes in Phantasm. But there were some other scenes that were very difficult to shoot in Phantasm, and one of them was in the portal room with you. And you had, like, ropes attached to your feet, you had wind machines, you had grips throwing canisters at you. What was it like to shoot that?
That was rough. That was... in all the films, I have done a lot of stunt gags, run and throw myself on a mausoleum floor, which that's like throwing yourself on rocks. You have to do it like several times because they have to get the right shot. But also on that scene where I get thrown back from the portal, to do that and to get really good shots of it and different angles of it, we had to do it several times. and they had what they call shock cords attached to my back on a like a harness kind of a thing that they put on me. And they had two big guys. They were on the other end of the ropes, and the ropes were up high, and they jumped down off of this kind of wall thing and actually jerked me. So that's why I get all that air and fly through the air.
Oh, man.
And then after I landed, after they got a good shot of me hitting the floor, they took the harness off me, and they threw those barrels at
So it's like one thing after another.
Yeah, from several feet away. Oh, and they also had lines on my feet, so that's why I'm look like I'm struggling to go forward, and I'm being pulled backwards, and they're throwing those barrels at me, and I well, you saw it, and it looked great. I always get hurt in you know, working on a Phantasm, because, you know, you want to sell the gag. And a lot of times they wanted to use a stunt double for me, and I didn't want to do it. I mean, I wanted to do the stunt because I wanted to show my face, you know, so that people could see it was me that was getting slammed against the wall, which that happened, being thrown into the trunk of the CUDA. I did that too. And the way I did that was they actually had a little, what they call a mini tramp. And it's just a little trampoline about 3 by 3 square, 3 feet by 3 feet square. And you run. They put it a certain distance away from where you need to land. And so they had the trunk of the car open, the lid of the car. And I ran, and I would hit the tramp and fly through the air, and I had to hit the trunk of the car.
Whoa. It sounds like you were like a Looney Tunes character.
I did a lot of stuff like that. I mean, you know, anytime you see me, hitting the floor or getting knocked for a few feet or whatever in the air. Another thing we did to show air on that shot was we took it into a little studio area where there was a trampoline set up. And they just, I just bounced on the tramp and then would kind of lose it in the air, and they'd catch me, you know.
Whoa, like cheerleader style?
Yeah, I'd just, you know, fall on the tramp and then do it again, and we'd do it again, yeah.
Man, so that's all you, Reggie. Huh? It's all you, man. No, I think that's what, you know, the Phantasm fans love about the movies, that it was hard work, and, you know, all of the cast, you know, you guys were putting in that hard work, and you can see it. You know, you weren't some like divas on a set. You know, you guys were really helping put this movie together as a team. And I think that really resonates throughout the whole film. Like, you know, it looks beautiful and it looks fantastic, but there's something about it that, you know, you can feel the synergy between everybody, and you just know it was a team effort.
Well, I always felt that, you know, for example, stunts, I always tried to do, like I said, as many of them as I felt that I could do, because it's so important to see, you know, the character that you're into being the one who gets thrown or, you know, whatever.
Hurt,
shot.
Carry that illusion.
Whatever. And so, I always try and do my own stuff. So.
Well, that's really cool. We love you for that, Reggie. Now, there's one more scene I want to talk to you about. It's right before the ending. It's with you and Mike, and it's a pretty emotional and, you know, heavy scene where Mike thinks he had a dream, you think it was a dream, and you're both trying to move on from tragedy in this, you know, 3 to 5 minute scene. Did you and Michael rehearse that scene very much?
That was a real bonding, you know, scene between, you know, two really good friends. Well, and actually, Mike was kind of the kid, and I was kind of in charge of him because, you know, there was nobody to take care of him because his parents were gone.
Right.
And so it was really such a heartfelt scene. go get your stuff and we're leaving here at dawn, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then playing the guitar, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, the story is over, but it's not over. It's really interesting. I always thought it was a trip that, you know, okay, it's a horror film, but wow, you know, what a heartfelt horror film. It's amazing, you know, the way you come out of that film, away from that film after you've seen it, how you feel, you know. Yeah, you know, you were scared any number of times throughout the movie, yeah, but it also pulled at your heart as well. Because there's a lot of love expressed in the film.
You hit the jackpot when you have those two things going for you in a movie, and Phantasm definitely did, and it tugged at your heartstrings, but also scared you to death. It just had everything going for it.
It's very human.
Yes.
You know, you know, like I said, Don really knows how to pull that stuff together, and you know, he pulled us together. And we just fell right into it. You know, it touched us as well.
Do you have a favorite memory from shooting the first one?
Oh, geez. You know, I felt great about just being involved in it. And I can't really say there was a specific moment, unless maybe it was the first day of shooting.
What was that day like? Do you remember, you know, kind of the atmosphere on set?
I really don't remember, but I know that, like I was saying, I was working at a club, so sometimes they would come and pick me up to go shoot, because I was working like Thursday through Sunday night. And they would always shoot on the weekends because that was when they could get the camera equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Less expensive, you know. And so anyway, they would tell me, I would get a phone call from them like on Saturday afternoon. And they'd go, hey, Reg, we want to shoot, you know, tonight. And I go, well, you know, I'm working tonight. And, yeah, I got the bodega tonight. And they go, yeah, no, we'll come and pick you up after work. And after work is like 2:30.
Oh, geez.
In the morning.
Oh, no.
I can remember one time they did that. And, okay, and they came and got me. And we drove up to Big Bear from Long Beach, from Belmont Shore in Long Beach, California. We went up to Big Bear, California. Which is, you know, 7,000 feet up the mountain. And we did the scene where I pick up, I get the body and we put it in the ice cream truck. And I go, this guy's not going to leak all over my ice cream.
Yeah.
And it was that scene that we did. And like I said, they came and picked me up Long Beach and drove me all the way up there just to do that one scene. So
wow.
Independent film, anybody listening to the sound of my voice, be ready to give it all up, to get it done, because that's what it demands. It's a very demanding industry, independent film, because there's not a lot of money in it, you know?
Right, yeah.
And so you have to make it work no matter what. And so, like I said, anybody within the sound of my voice, you want to get into independent film, be ready for a real job, but also be ready to kick back after you do it and go, wow, that was worth every minute.
Reggie, what was it like seeing Angus Scrimm done up for the first time on set?
Well, okay, here's the thing. Angus, when he put the tall man makeup and wardrobe on, he was the tall man. And the tall man did not get together with anybody else. He would hang out by himself. even like when, you know, either in a trailer or on set somewhere, he'd hide.
Oh.
Yeah. Like when, for example, a mausoleum, I was wondering where he was at one point because I didn't see him anywhere around where we were shooting. And I walked through a couple of different hallways of the mausoleum that we were shooting in. And he was sitting in a chair in one hallway of the mausoleum, just kind of studying his lines, and no one around him, and just totally by himself. And I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, how's it going? What are you doing?" You know, and he says, "Well, I'm just studying." And I just got the feeling, Reg, leave him alone. And so I said, "Okay, well, I'll see you in a little bit." And I just walked away. I've worked with other people that were very method actors. Bruce Campbell, for example, is very much a method actor. He was when I worked with him on Bubba.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, he wouldn't run lines with me. We would just, he would just disappear, and he would just be in his trailer. And then we'd get together on set and we'd do the scene. Whereas I think it's because I'm a musician, but I really like to jam the scene. I think I mentioned this earlier. I really like to jam the scene and see if there's something else that we can, maybe some other lines that we need to throw in or change or a different posture. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you gotta work out, everything and see what works, what doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I never really understood method acting that well. I always like to be more flexible than that.
Well, very cool, Reg. And I have one more question for you before we go.
Okay, I got one more answer.
Okay. This is the Class of 79 extra credit question. What advice would you give Reggie Bannister 40 years ago?
So I think I told myself 40 years ago the same thing I tell myself today. And that's to look inside. Pull the character out of yourself, Reg. And or pull the artistic piece out of yourself and then reveal it so that everybody can dig it.
Reggie, you have been such a pleasure to talk to. You are one of my favorite actors, and Phantasm is one of my favorite horror movie franchises. So it's just an absolute pleasure to talk to you. And I know all of our fans love you so much. And thank you, man, for everything you've done.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate talking to you, and anytime you want to talk, give me a call.
I'm just a sitting here at midnight, and I've been sitting here till noon. You see, my lady left me lonely. Yes, she did. Baby left me blue.
Thanks for listening to Fangoria Presents Class of 79. We really appreciate you tuning in. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, we'd love it if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. And follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the horror content you crave. Class of 79 is a Fangoria Podcast Network original, produced and hosted by Natasha Pasetta, executive producers Dallas Sonier and Phil Nobile Jr., associate producer Jessica Safavamer, art and design by Ashley Detmering, sound recording, design, and mixing by Natasha Pasetta, music by James Malone, for Fangoria, Brandon Wynerdy, Jason Koslerich, Rachel Wilson, and special thanks to Udo Kier.